Please be seated. So, good morning, friends. For those of you who might not know me, my name is Stephanie Rosell, and I'm an elder here at First Pres, and just last month finished a 3-year term as an active elder on our church's session, which is the church's leadership board. My family and I have been members here since 2008, and we absolutely love being part of this church family. I requested to give the message today because of this love that I have for all of you. In the time that I've been here, we've experienced some great highs and some painful lows, both personally and then collectively with all of you. But I can testify that God's Spirit remains here with us, and He desires for us to continue moving forward and growing His kingdom. If you've ever spent much time in church, you've probably all heard the words that we just read there in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So I'm going to focus a little bit on that today, that charge and command from Jesus. And as we begin this in preparation for this upcoming season of growth and renewal within our church body. So if you could pray with me here this morning. God, we acknowledge your presence this morning. We thank you for the time that we can set aside to join collectively in worship and hear a message from your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts in ways that we need to hear and that you would move us to action. We desire to be where you are, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, I just recently finished 3 years as an active elder here at our church. And throughout those 3 years on session, we have been without a permanent lead pastor. We've been really blessed with two wonderful transitional pastors. We had Dr. Baird, who was here when I first started, and now we have Pastor Peter. And together with them, we've been able to do some really good strategic planning for growing various ministries of the church, doing some outreach, building volunteer participation and capacity. We've restructured the areas of responsibility within the session, and we've worked hard to communicate that and share that vision with all of you here in the congregation. However, we've continued to struggle with getting our ministries off the ground. We've continued to struggle recruiting new leaders and to help move that mission forward. While those of us on session are really excited to see the kingdom work done here at First Pres, it's also been a little frustrating to try to figure out how to get there. In 2020 and 2021, the EPC Church Revitalization Task Force offered some monthly workshops that I was able to attend. The focus of these workshops was to give churches the opportunities to hear about church revitalization and then to provide a place for discussion amongst those churches. The overall focus was about church health, and it broke it down into the leadership areas throughout all of the church. In attending the workshops, I was encouraged to hear how other churches were growing and how they partnered with the GO Center, which is an organization that specializes in church revitalization. I brought some of those ideas back to session, and we put together a small team to explore all of this a little bit more. We contacted the GO Center and their leader, Dr. Ken Pretty, and we talked to him about how he works with churches that have plateaued or that have declining membership, and we took that information back to session, and session agreed to partner with them. One question that came up was whether we should wait until we had a new permanent lead pastor or we should just start all of our efforts now. It's a question that other churches have asked as well, and Dr. Pretty strongly feels that we should not wait because this training is for all of us. It's for the church leaders, but it's for the members as well. The trainings are designed for all of us to refocus and build our identity as FPC and affirm God's vision for our future, for the future of our congregation. With all of these things done, we can then partner with a new pastor in what we are together building for God. It's pretty typical in churches that have been around for a long time for them to fall into patterns and routines of the business of church. In Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, we read the story of Jesus visiting the home of Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. Upon Jesus' arrival, Martha spends her time preparing the house, cooking and cleaning. She loves Jesus, and she does this, and she wants to prepare things for him because she wants to serve him and love him in that way. Like Martha, we love our church, and we often demonstrate this by pouring into the service of the church. We have meetings, we hash out the budget, we look for elders, deacons, and volunteers, we maintain our facility, we maintain our programming, we run the worship service every week. But in the business of doing all of these actions, we become internally focused in all of those ministries and our view of church as a whole. Like Martha, we can become bitter and anxious. And when Martha complains to Jesus, Jesus answers, "Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus is calling us to be more like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, listened to his teaching, and wanted that personal relationship with him. Jesus calls that the one important thing. He wants us to be in relationship with him, and then he tells us to go out and spread this good news to teach others what he has taught us. It's so easy for things that start out life-giving to become life-draining. Volunteering to trim the hedges here at the church can be an act of service, and Jesus calls us to serve, right? So often we begin these acts of service, but we don't pair it with sitting at his feet and building relationship with him. So that service then becomes empty and draining. I think that many of us have found this to be true at some point in our Christian life. That empty, draining feeling is evidence of our own sin. We begin to worship the service to the church and the ministries of the church instead of worshiping Christ himself. Romans 8 tells us that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. And in Psalm 127, Solomon says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain." We are living according to the flesh when we allow the work of the church to become our God. And Satan is a pro at twisting up our minds so that that happens. We think that we're building God's house, but actually we're laboring in vain as we continue to push programs that we've always done instead of allowing God to do a new work in us. In contrast, Paul says in Romans passage that when we set our mind on the Spirit, we have life and we have peace. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He wants us to spend time with him, to learn from him, as Mary did, and he wants us to experience lightness that comes from service that overflows from love and peace. We read this morning up here from Acts 2, when the early church was meeting together. It describes this idyllic picture of the early believers working and living together. When we follow that model that Jesus lays out for us, we find deep fulfillment and happiness. And what's even more remarkable is at the end of that brief description, it says, "The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." When we're in line with God's plan, he multiplies. So Dr. Priddy is going to be coming here at the end of August to guide our efforts in moving us into deeper spiritual growth and the growth of our congregation. Our church has made a financial commitment to this training weekend, and a year-long partnership with the GO Center. He's given us a roadmap tracker to continue the work that we're going to start that weekend with ongoing assessments and good objective feedback for a whole year. Session made this commitment on behalf of the congregation, but we cannot do it alone. Unless all of us work together, it will absolutely fail. I hope that you'll join us in preparing for this training and then attending it. So looking at that passage in Acts again, it said that the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and breaking of bread. And one of the ways that we can prepare for this training is to devote ourselves to God's teaching. To do this, Dr. Priddy has given us a 2-week Bible study on the Great Commission and the Great Commission alignment. Looks like this. He requested that all of the church leaders do this together for 2 weeks, but I would like to challenge all of us to do it. Each day has a focus with Scripture and some reflection questions, and the overall goal of the study is to help guide us to see that God has a vision for His church universal and that He wants to help FPC align with that vision. Wouldn't it be amazing to see what God will reveal to us when our body is collectively reading and praying together? I asked Marta to make 70 copies of this study, and they're here on the table right up front. I probably should have, in faith, asked for 150, but when we run out, I'll have a little paper there, and you can sign your name up, and we'll make some more copies. I would challenge each of you to start next Monday, August 8th. You'll be done in 2 weeks, and then you'll have the remaining of that week before Dr. Priddy gets here to meditate on and review everything that you've learned. We would also ask that you begin praying daily for this revitalization training. Again, in the passage in Acts, it says that they devoted themselves to prayer, and the Lord added to their number daily. In 2 Chronicles, God tells Solomon, "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Let's ask God to heal and grow our church. Let's be clear that it's not growth for the sake of growth, but growth is a symptom of health. And if we're not growing, then we're not healthy. So join our staff and our session and praying that God would be present in these trainings and He would honor our time of preparation. If you would like to pray corporately for this, there's a group that meets here on Tuesdays. They meet at 12:15, and they pray over the requests that you all share on Sunday mornings. They pray over the things that are shared on the prayer chain for the life of our church and for our pastor search committee. And for any of you that can join them, I would encourage you to do that and to pray for this upcoming time as well. And finally, you're being called to attend the training. We've asked Dr. Priddy to do his Reboot Now curriculum, and he'll be adding in a special training called BOOM, which is called Boomers Out on Mission, since many of us in the congregation are of that generation. Until we are called home to heaven, we are not released from the Great Commission. Jesus says, go and tell. No doubt it gets harder as we get older. Our circle of influences gets smaller. Our energy wanes, but we're still called. So please know that this training is for every one of you in this room. You've had this handout here in the bulletin for quite a while. August 26th and 25th, that Friday and Sunday, those are for church leaders, but everyone is welcome. You can circle Saturday, August 27th, because that is for everybody, every one of you that are here. Okay? I started out by saying that I love this church, and my heart really does swell as I look out at each one of you. I look at all of your faces, and I think of ways that you have blessed me, and you have blessed my family over the years that we've been here at First Pres. I want all of Fairbanks to know that this is a place where the love of Christ overflows and that the peace of Christ sustains us. So mark your calendars and come that day. I really believe that you'll be blessed, and our community will be blessed for it as well. So please pray with me. Father God, I thank you for your word and your presence here this morning. Please stir up in each of us discontentment that moves us into action for your kingdom. We desire to know you more and to share the good news of your salvation and the fullness of life in heaven and here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.